We would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land. We respectfully acknowledge elders past, present, and emerging. Always was, always will be. Hi, and welcome to Wine with Megan Mal. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by Master of Wine. Master of Wine, to be clear. Meg Brotman. What are we doing today, Meg?
We're doing Chablis. Oh. So we've been talking about when we were planning our year, how does, you know, Burgundy's appellation system, can you actually bloody see a difference?
Yeah.
I thought we'd start easy because Chablis is just Chardy and is not as complicated as the rest of Burgundy.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd do this and also – we love Chardy.
So we love Chablis.
And, oh, when I was away, man, we should do Hard for Chard. There was one wine bar I went to, which is called Wine Pairings or something, and they just have wines by the glass. And she loves Chardonnay. She would open, she said, a Chardonnay wine bar if she could. In
Meg,
York.
Let's just open a wine bar. Let's go do it. Will someone back us?
I don't like working hospo hours, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Have to
true.
Pay people to do it.
Yeah.
If they were, if you could
we'll
do it between it 10 and 3, I'd be more than happy.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. Yeah. 10 and 3. That sounds like really good work hours. Okay, yeah. I'm into it.
So we're doing
I have a story about Chablis. I had a – she was a beautiful person, great friend in Montreal, but – was like, you know, kind of raised pretty well a family sort of thing and had spent a lot of time in France. And her big thing was she hated Chardonnay, hated it, just thought it was the worst. And I was like, oh, I mean, that's fair enough. That's your personal taste. But what do you like then? What's your favorite? And she goes, oh, I drink one thing. It's Chablis.
Did you tell her?
No. I she was my first friend in a new city and I didn't want to be like...
Oh, my God.
You're a fraud. But I laugh about it to this day.
That could be really embarrassing for her because one day someone was going to...
She's got a pretty important job too, so like she wouldn't want to...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that's all they grow in Chablis. It's not like, you know, other regions where they grow other stuff.
But same thing, like... A French person over there who I was speaking to who loves wine, knows his wine really well, but he knows his French wine really well. So he talks about Saint-Emilion and all the different villages and all the different crews and like he understands, but he couldn't tell you what varietal actually goes into them.
Right.
Yeah, so French people, a lot of what I've experienced are in their own little world. They experience wine so differently. Yeah. They experience it from
region
and almost disregard the varietal. It's like, anyway, we're in Chablis.
We're in Chablis.
And it's a really awesome place to be and I'm excited. But we'll get there. First, okay. Meg, what you been drinking?
So what I was drinking when I was in the UK, because I really wanted to do it, we keep talking about it, was the Nye Timber sparkling wine and it's English, was amazing. Hideously expensive at a restaurant.
Yeah.
87 quid.
That's so much.
Well, the guy said, do you want a glass or a bottle? And my girlfriend said, oh, let's get a bottle. And I hadn't even seen.
Meg, it's in Dance. We are going to have to do it.
Oh, my God. It is so good.
Blind tasting, do you reckon you would plausibly call it champagne and a blind tasting?
Oh, it's interesting you should say that because I was thinking the other day I'd like to do another sparkling episode, but other sparkles.
Like not champagne?
Yeah, so Limu.
Yeah, cool.
Not Prosecco, Australian, Kiwi, you know, just other sparkling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over it. It was so good. It was beautiful. It's creamy, fine line of acidity, lovely lees aging. You could have thought it was champagne and it was a non-vintage.
Is it true that they have, because England is so close geologically to France, they have the same soil as champagne, which is why it's so similar?
Yeah, so the White Cliffs of Dover are the same calcareous soils that you have in champagne. So from it was a Devonian inland sea.
Do they all have like champagne consultants and stuff coming over working with them.
Well, like, Paul Roger's there. Yeah. They're in there.
Wow.
I don't know. The English and the French have a bit of a fractious relationship historically. So I'm not sure. But my God, I remember having it at Domaine Chandon at a tasting and being absolutely blown away by it.
What, English sparkling?
The 19-month. Oh. And I've never had it since. And that's why when I saw it on this list.
Why did you have it at Chandon?
We did a – Dan Buckle did an amazing thing where we tasted all these sparkles from around the – I can't even remember what – whether I was invited or I was paid to go. And then we went and did your aromatic garden spritzy. It was a whole day.
Oh, you did the spritz.
It's a few years ago. I'm talking maybe 2012. A few years ago, but very, very good. Night Timber Sparkling, which is now available at Dan's.
Yeah, it is $80 for anyone that wants to try it. And we
will definitely
going to have to do an episode on it. Fun fact.
Okay, fun fact. I've just got a few words for you. Chat GPT.
Oh, my God, yes. I'm so excited. I love it.
So, for those of you who don't know, ChatGPT is an automatic bot on the internet that will, if you say write a wine review on Chablis, it will scan the internet and it will put together a review.
Yeah.
And a number of journalists on Twitter I've seen have done exactly that, and the reviews are fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my son about this because it's been Victorian government banning it for anyone under the age of 18 in an educational setting. But I said to my son, well, your teacher would know because it would generate the same essay. And he said, no, that's the brilliance of it.
Yeah.
They did it 1,000 times with the same topic and it generated 1,000 different but correct responses. And I know that you – either emailed me or it was one of those shouty moments from you.
Yeah, so that's, it was. I was so excited about it.
That's all I've got to say to you. It's ChatGPT. Go, Mel.
Okay, so what I did when I got on there for the first time, because I first heard about it on a podcast, not even about like wine, just about like general how the white collar industries are going to reach their demise because of this, which sounds scary and stuff, but I think it's just going to be a helpful tool and not really kill us off. And so I went on there and I typed in write a tasting note for a Pinot Noir from the Upper Yarra Valley. Beautiful, perfect, right? And so then I went, it's a bit technical. Can you write it in a style where it's more beautiful? And then it was like, the glorious hills being of the Yarra Valley lead to the silky tan, and it was just lovely. And then I took it one step further and I was like, okay, but can you write it in a Bogan voice? So then it
it knows what Bogan means.
So then it writes, the Pinot Noir's blood is, it's a bloody ripper. And wrote a whole tasting note in that language.
Oh, my God.
And then I got it to do it again as if it was Yoda, and it was like, silky tannins it has.
Clearly you've got far too much time on your hands, woman.
Now, can I quickly just say I just punched into it, write a theme song for the Wine with Meg and Mel podcast.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Sipping wine, having fun. Meg and Mel, our podcast has begun. Talking all things that you know every week. Subrange skills will hear Mel speak.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, have a play. It's really fun. But it will change the, I think, industry as we know it. It's a lot's going to change.
Yeah, well, some would argue that a lot of wine notes written by journalists anyway could have been written by ChatGPT because they are.
Yeah.
Somewhat repetitive. And this kind of goes to what was it, Kirsty or Christy last week, the question about wine scores?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Kirsty.
Somewhat goes to that. Is it necessary?
Oh.
So that's, I just thought I'd bring that up because I know that you're.
Did I send you the fake booze article?
About ChatGPT, yeah. No?
Okay, so we've spoken about fake booze on here before. We think they're hilarious, whoever they're interviewing. He admitted, however, that while ChatGPT had clear limitations, there were also enormous possibilities. It's incredibly effective at writing simple, unengaging content where style isn't that important, he said, such as press releases, web content, and anything in Wine Spectator.
That is so cool.
Hilarious.
Rude.
All right, great topic to bring up, Meg. I'm incredibly passionate about this technology. We've been calling it at work. We've been calling it the marketing assistant. But we need to move on because we need all the time we can get to get through this amazing Chablis.
Okay, so Chablis, considered to be part of Burgundy, mm-hmm. one grape variety, Chardonnay, generally un-oak.
Wait, so but this is already interesting, right? Because in, say, Bordeaux, there's like a bunch of varieties that they're allowed, but they really only tend to use like a few of them. Chablis, you're saying literally just Chardonnay. Can't blend in anything.
No. North, it's north. It's cool.
Yeah.
So this is all they can really ripen.
Okay.
I have a funny feeling, actually, you can grow Pinot Noir and they make a rosé in Chablis from it, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
We're concentrating on the Chardonnay.
You're literally quoted. It's a podcast. It's going on live, but okay.
Sorry. we're concentrating on the Chablis that we all know, Chablis. So basically you have the Chablis region. So wines named as Chablis are from grapes grown throughout the region.
Yes.
Then we have Premier Cru.
Yeah.
There's about 40 Premier Cru vineyards, 20 that they generally use. If it just has Premier Cru and nothing else on it, so it'll say Chablis Premier Cru, it'll be a blend of those Premier Cru vineyards.
Mm.
If it has Premier Cru Vaillon, mm-hmm. for example, Vaillons, it is from that one vineyard.
Okay.
Then you have the Grand Cru vineyards.
Yeah.
The Grand Cru vineyards, there's a river called the Serene, S-E-R-E-I-N, that runs through Chablis.
Okay.
And it's on the north side, but the vineyards are south-facing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're sitting and getting all the sun.
Yeah.
This is the Grand Cru site. There's only seven Grand Cru vineyards, and they have to name that you can only make wine from each individual vineyard. You can't blend across Grand Cru sites.
Gotcha. Okay.
Famous soils, the Kimmeridgian clays. So this was, as I said, an inland Devonian, so from the Devon era, sea. So there's been lots of seashells that have broken down, and so you've got these sort of white soils, so these calcareous soils. So you've got all these dead seashells.
Does that make a difference?
Yes. A bit of heat absorption and adds a level of minerality to the wine. So the best wines are off the Kimmeridgian clays.
Oh,
all
cool.
the Grand Cru and Premier Cru sites are on the Kimmeridgian clays.
Yeah.
The Chablis Straight may be on Kimmeridgian clay, but they're also on what they call Portlandia clays, which are heavier soils, not as much minerality. So from straight Chablis, you expect just to see fruit, and it's on the green fruit spectrum. So just ripe pear, green apple, mineral, maybe some saltiness as well.
Is Chablis normally expensive?
It's getting more entry-level expensive. So the cheapest wine here was $43.99. So spendy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, spendy.
It is. When in, I thought in France it's not even necessarily considered that.
No. And in the UK it's kind of considered, it was interesting that it was kind of your go-to wine if you didn't know anything else on the wine list. A little bit like your friend from Canada.
Yeah.
So, but now because they've had a few short vintages, it's becoming really, really, really expensive apparently.
Interesting.
And they're putting up their prices incredibly. So then Chablis Premier Cru, when I say there's no oak, they may do oak fermentation, but it's old oak. It's not about the flavour of the oak.
Yes,
You may see some sort of oxidation from the fermentation in oak because there's more oxygen contact. There might be more lees contact. There might be more creaminess, more winemaking and layers of complexity. What I've got here is a straight Chablis, then I've got three Premier Cru named, and then I've got a Grand Cru.
That's awesome.
It's very exciting. So what we want to see is, A, is there a difference between the straight Chablis and the other Grand Cru, the Premier and Grand Cru's. Yeah. And then is there a difference between the three Premier Cru's that I've got? God. And then how good is the Grand Cru? The Grand Cru, I will forewarn you, was $230.
I'm really, really excited.
I know. We're very spoiled. Thank you, Dan Murphy.
Thanks, Dan. So I have to say, what I notice you don't have here is a Petit Chablis.
No, I didn't get a Petit Chablis because I just don't think that they are even worth drinking.
I love it when you're mean.
They have, they're so tart and acidic. I don't even, do we import Petit Chablis? Do they have a Petit Chablis?
There's a $35 one, yeah.
Right. They're not worth drinking. If you're spending that, they taste like sick. They're really acidic and tart and green apple.
They taste like sick.
I really don't like them at all. Oh, and I didn't see one. They're from the less ripe vineyards. So they're vineyards that are facing the north, so they're not getting the sun, and so they're just acidic and battery acid, not nice.
Yeah, okay. All right, all right. That's hilarious. So I guess what we won't drink Petit Chablis then.
So the first wine, I wasn't even on my radar today, I've got to say. I really don't like it. What's the difference in price?
I think we've done it like 10 bucks. I think we've done it once on this show, like early.
Yeah, spend the extra 10 bucks. So we have a Simonet Fevre Chablis, Simonet Fevre, big negotiant. They can buy right across Chablis. This was how much? 44. Exactly what I would expect it to smell like. Mineral, pear, waxy. I always get waxy.
Waxiness. That's what I was trying to pinpoint something.
And I always get that in straight Chablis, and that's the sickness that I get in the Petit Chablis. That's really evident. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's from, but there's always this waxy smell.
Have to say, I expected it to be more citrus driven. But it's not as citrus driven as I thought it would be.
No, it's kind of pear, mandarin, green apple finishes.
And that's normal.
Yeah.
You'd expect us to be that not.
Particularly now. I mean, if you were doing this back in the 1990s, darling, this is 12.5% alcohol.
Yeah.
They just get riper flavours. But it finishes quite short. And what I'm expecting as we move up the scale is more complexity. So you're saying, all it to me is just really a little bit of this.
You know, that's nice, but I would sooner drink Yarra Valley.
I see what you mean. This for me, that waxiness, I just think oysters. Oh, God.
Of course you do.
Sit down and have these lovely Arcachon oysters out of France. yum, 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 yum.
Yeah.
That is a perfectly good drink, but at $44, I am definitely drinking in the Yarra.
Yeah. For $44, I reckon you'd do better locally.
I'm going to the upper Yarra.
Yeah.
But that is a perfect example of Chablis.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, then if you want to learn about Chablis, I guess go for that one. Yeah.
Then we have a same producer.
Okay.
Simonet Fevre Chablis Premier Cru Vaillons. V-A-I-L-L-O-N-S. 2020.
Vaillon. What's that mean? What's that mean? I did French and I can't remember what that means. Oh,
tip it out, darling.
We're not making a blend.
I don't know what it means. So this is Premier Cru. First thing we notice, it's under cork, not screw cap, and it's a heavier bottle.
I didn't think any French wine over like $30 was in screw cap. I thought that was like against the law.
I remember probably 5 years ago, 2012, Bordeaux had a huge issue with oxidation in their whites because of cork failure. And there was big talk, and Chablis particularly got on board and said, no, we're going to go all screw cap.
Yeah.
But clearly no. The next wine we're having, the Domaine Louis Moreau, which is a Premier Cru, is actually under screw cap. Good on you, Louis.
Oh my god!
And I think Sancerre.
You and your screw cap.
How pissed off will you be if that $230 bottle of wine is corked?
It's so improbable.
I am driving
now.
Back to Dan's and getting another one. Anyway, Simone Fevre Chablis Premier Cru Vaillant 2020. What I'm expecting is more flintiness, more minerality, more level of concentration, less of that waxiness, and more length.
It's definitely got more minerality. Is there such thing as too much minerality? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we should get three glasses and line these up next to each other.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Honeyed. So that honey for me, is that suggestive of oak fermentation or aging?
Yeah. And the mouthfeel is very different. The mouthfeel is so much rounder and softer and kind of oily, but in like a yummy, yummy, yummy way.
And that level of acidity.
Oh, my God, it's piercing. Yum.
It's just so much more fine-lined and more layers of flavour, and there's that mineral character, bit of honey, bit of yellow
that's
apple.
It's really yum.
It is. I wasn't actually holding out much hope for that.
So what's that, an extra? So if this is $69.45, pay the extra $15. Get that one.
No. Oh, no, this is $60.
Yeah.
Pay it. Put me on hold. I'm getting some more glasses. I'm back. I've got glasses. We now have the Jean-Marc Brocard Chablis Premier Cru Montmagne. So Montmagns for those of you who cannot understand my superb French.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Again, 2020. We've now jumped up a little bit more in price. We are at the $70 mark.
Getting up there.
So the first thing, we've now lined up all three Premier Crus, the Vaillant, the Montmagne, and the Vouligny, which is the last one, in front of each other. The thing that I notice about the second one, the one that we're drinking now, the Jean-Marc Brocard, is it's more of a lemon tinge. The other two have a sort of a slight yellow gold tinge.
What did you say the Jean-Marc is with?
70. Jean-Marc Brocard.
It says 160.
Is that Premier Cru or Grand Cru?
Oh, that's Grand Cru. That's why. Look at me reading the label.
That was a Grand Cru I was supposed to get, but oopsies, I got the $230 one. Anyway, while Mel's looking at it, mineral, almost like second wine, darling. I almost get a mushroom character to that as well, which would be suggestive of Lee's aging.
It is so intensely mineral. And I get that mushroomy. It's like got that umami. Oh, my God, smells so good. I just want to drink it. That's awesome.
Yum. Green apple acidity is superb. It's really interesting tasting all 2020s in a row.
What? Is that it is savory as it tastes like earth.
So while the Vaillant from Simone Fevre had that distinct honey waxy character to it, this is just mineral, fine lined, mushroomy.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like,
fresh
good, earth
totally.
Mushroomy.
Fresh earth mushroom, but like, it's intriguing. It's one of those intriguing wines. It's not drink, don't think. It is. So interesting.
And the palate is just, it's almost like it's got tannins. It's got so much structure to it, and the acid is just superb.
Oh, my God, I love it when white wines are this savoury. It like
that is gorgeous.
Trips me out and makes me want to spend time with it. Like, it sounds so lame, but I just want to, like, hang out in a room and get to know it.
So it says it provides the wine with a mineral character which blends in beautifully with floral aromas.
And it actually does have this. I think the savoury and this mushroom thing and minerality that we're talking about is in the front palate. It's like when you first taste it. But then this like almost tropical fruit does kind of burst through at the end.
Yeah, hibiscus flower.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hibiscus.
I'm thinking of white lotus with them all walking around with those flowers in their ears. Yes. We are going to do a White Lotus Mount Etna episode, but I need more time to we may have missed the boat on that one, but
yeah, I know it's kind of been and gone, but it's still interesting, I think.
Definitely. That is completely different. Awesome. So two premier crew sites. One, look, winemaking might be different, but one, the Vaillant is definitely less mineral than the Mont Mung.
Do they have much control over the winemaking? Like, I thought it was quite restrictive from, like, the French authorities.
Yeah, look, there's a lot that they can't do. They can use new oak, but okay. Most people choose not to because they want the fruit to sing. The time on lees, whether they do lees, whether or not they do malolactic fermentation. When they do malolactic fermentation, okay, it's not for flavour. It's for deacidification.
Why? If the acid is just that high, too high, that it – right.
So you don't tend to see – it adds layers of complexity. And this is the thing with these wines, I think, as we move up, we're just going to see that layer. For a wine that is made – just from Chardonnay with not a lot of oak influence, the difference in those two is phenomenal.
Oh, crazy difference for sure. How, okay. So that was 70, right?
70. Now we're drinking the Louis Moreau Chablis Premier Cru Vaulignaux. So Vaulignaux. This was $95. Again, we can only extend our most humblest thanks to Dan's.
I should warn.
Oh, that's really floral and mineral, though. That's lifted. That's much.
Yeah.
Much more aromatic, I think, than the other two.
This is my third one, right? That smells
really floral. It's got like that waxiness. Apple. Red apple.
It's like apple blossom.
Yep.
And
it's got a bit of sulfur dioxide in it. So it's still very young. Ah, interesting.
I can't smell sulfur, remember?
Oh, it's got sulfur dioxide in it and it's the only one on the screw cap. That's probably why. That's one of the complaints that the people have about screw cap is it holds its free sulfur more than cork. No, give it a few minutes in the glass, it'll be fine. And 40 years in your cellar, who knows on the, although the corks are pretty nice. Simonet is using natural cork, but my God, it's good quality. And the Brocard is a DM cork.
That's pretty amazing. But the one before was more interesting to me, the Jean-Marc. Yeah. I think because of the Jean, I like interesting and different, right? And that's what the Jean-Marc delivered, whereas the Domaine Louis Moreau, let's just call it as it is, the $95 one. it has this amazing acid line and this really cool supporting fruit. And it's like technically amazing, but it's also almost too expected for me.
Yeah, I think for me, the Louis Moreau, there's just such that pristine fruit and it's talking to Chablis location.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Brocard, I see a little bit more sort of – there's minerality definitely from location, but there's a bit more winemaking in there. They are all extraordinarily good wines, and I think it would depend on your budget. The thing is with Chablis too, it's not really designed to be aged, I don't think. The beauty about it is we're drinking it in its absolute youth and freshness. And, you know, it's really impressive that we can get 2020 wines out here.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah. So Chablis, what, rarely aged?
Mm. I've had old Chablis that have had like 10, 15 years on them.
Nope.
Not for me. Right. Not for me. I love the freshness of them, the green appleness and the honey and the pear and
that's yum. Interesting though, because something like Chablis for me, honestly, I think sits closer to like a Riesling than what maybe like if you have like a Riesling and Chardonnay, most people tasting a Chablis would put it closer to a Riesling than like a traditional Chardonnay. Yeah. And I find it interesting that you say that it doesn't age super well because like Rieslings notoriously age magically.
I think Rieslings, oh, this is going to be controversial.
I love it.
Transform. Chablis just ages. It just becomes a bit decrepit.
Decrepit!
But I also don't think that most white burgundy should be aged. People are going to disagree with me on that.
You're never going to be allowed back into France. They're going to put you on a list.
Chablis for me is all about youthfulness and freshness and deliciousness. And I truly don't think that most white burgundy, everyone goes on about aged white burgundy, and it's like they're interesting.
Yeah.
But are they better than they were? Yeah. And I don't think they are. Whereas Riesling, it's transformative. It was delicious when it was young, and then it's, my God, next level, unbelievable when it gets older. And so, Semillon too, aged
this
Semillon.
This is interesting as well. Someone in one of our reviews said that they like that we are not just different like generations but have such a different perspective on wine. So you are so like technical and winemaking. You understand what Chablis should be, so which is why that last one speaks to you. But I'm a crazy millennial who just lacks interesting.
No, this is good.
I'm like, I like the funky one that challenges me.
Yep, I'd still go the last one. Going back to the Vaillant now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to go back and see how that compares.
That's superb. That is so good for that price. $60.
The $60 one.
Yep. Oh, they're also different.
So if you had to choose your favourite, would you say the $95 one, then the $70, then the $60, or would you go $90, $60, $70? Because let's be honest, no one's remembering these French names. We're just referring to them by their price.
I would almost go $90, $60, $70.
I knew you would.
And that's because I am a traditionalist.
Yeah,
are. I'm more about the maybe the site than the – I like that Brocard, the $70 one. I just –
You're a traditionalist.
Is it too flavoursome? Oh, is there such a thing?
Well, that's what it said. Is there too much?
Someone once said about Dickens, too many words. And Mozart, too many notes.
Glad you added the ends on that.
I'm standing by it.
Standing by it.
95.
Can I top up to on
Brocard or all of them?
Brocard. That's the interesting one, right?
Yeah. It's interesting. We can always tell which is the most favoured wine because it's the most emptied one.
It's the one that we have to top up on.
And when I was at the Australia Trade Tasting last week, I did a walk around about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so towards the end of the day, and Shiraz bottles and Cabernet bottles full.
Yeah.
Sangiovese, Nebbiolo, Pinot, even Chardy, all emptied.
It's so mineral.
It is.
And I asked you, is there such thing as too much minerality? You said no, and now you're saying that there's too much minerality.
No, I'm not saying there's too much minerality. Is it dominating what else is in there?
Yeah, I guess so, probably.
Look, they're all
They're amazing.
I would happily.
Yeah.
And just thinking food. I mean, definitely oysters with the first one. The second one, I'd almost
go. Something with umami, something.
Yeah, I'm almost thinking like it's like a smoked salmon terrine thing. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if the smoke would work.
Yes. No, I think the smoke would work brilliantly. Yeah. No, I think that's a great call.
And then the third one, your $70 one, what would you? Suckling pig.
That's so not where my mind was going.
Oh, okay.
No, but I mean, I love it.
Oh, I met someone else who tastes in colours.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Laura from Enotria. She learned her diploma by saying purple fruits or yellow fruits or green fruits, and then she would be able to.
I taste in shapes. Do you know what I see? This $95 one. I see a sharp. What's it called when a triangle is long? It's a type of a shape.
Oh, God, that last one.
But imagine a pointy hill that goes...
Like a pyramid? No?
Yeah, but a pyramid that's long, like in a that travels. Ooh, like
on an oblong?
Yeah, something like... Yeah, something like that.
It's got oid on the end of
it. It's got
a triangoid.
So it, yes.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And...
Like a greenhouse.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
I imagine a greenhouse and the acid, it runs along the top of it on that sharp bit... And all the fruit is what's running down the side. I didn't come up with that. That's what I saw when the wine went in my
This is the thing. And mouth. I reckon the more you do wine, the more you get synesthesia.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And I don't know what it is, but I was talking to Laura about this when I was in the UK. Because she said, oh, she tastes like this. And I said, I think the more you get to know wine, you find triggers and being able to visualize helps you.
And I don't get it with every wine, but just some wines, something just like comes into my head.
Well, it's like me and corrugated cardboard with Semillon.
Yes, it is. Corrugated cardboard. Random. That's so weird.
But every time I taste Semillon, I see it's literally like you've opened up a wine box and you see the corrugated cardboard.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's very weird. Okay, we need to do our last one. Which one are you tipping out?
No, look, I've nearly finished this one, so that's...
That Moreau's.
Awesome.
All right, I'm going to tip out by Vaillant.
The $60 one, yeah. Okay, so now we're on to the really fancy one that makes us you bought by mistake.
In my defense, I think there was a Brocard.
Had you started sampling?
No, I think there was a Louis Moreau Grand Cru or Brocard Grand Cru that was about $140. So I am spending someone else's money here, so yes. I was a bit conscious of it, but accidentally, possibly on purpose, have.
It's got wax on the top and that means it has to be good.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass to open though. I freaking hate wax, but the cork is superb. Look how long it is.
Oh, my God, it's really long.
Isn't that beautiful?
So
it's
wax,
like a long DM.
When wax is on bottles, everyone has to be done by hand, which is why it's so, like, beautiful and it lends to premiumness. But some hate it because it's so hard to get off the bottles.
Funny enough, it's gone everywhere all over my kitchen, all over the bench. It was on my glasses. I had it stuck to my top.
That gives such an image. You're covered in this yellow wax.
So this is a Gautheron, Chablis Grand Cru Preuses. Preuses.
Le Preuses.
Le Preuses. 13%.
All right.
So with Grand Cru, we generally expect to see more oak. So some of that honey, sorry, I just moved away from the microphone. So some of that honey sort of slight level of oxidation. Very heavy bottle. Not my happiest.
You don't give them a pass because there mustn't be big volume.
You can get oily, smoky descriptors.
I just smell green apple.
Green apple, mineral, whetstone.
It's mineral, yeah. But nothing is...
Okay, weird. Oatmeal? Like Anzac biscuits? Granola? Muesli? You know that toasted oat?
Like, bruised apple? Yes, but I don't know if I'm saying yes only because
I'm convincing
it's
you.
I think you convinced me rather than me actually.
Okay, peanut shell.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes,
that is a descriptor for Grand Cru.
Yes, I get peanut shell.
Okay. Maybe your peanut shell is my
oatmeal.
Oatmeal. I kind of get a Weet-Bix.
We must sound so stupid.
There's a Weet-Bix-y. I don't know. I know that's not oat.
So someone told me once that if you've been smelling so much and that you've like sensory overload your nose, that you smell something neutral and the most neutral thing you can smell is your own skin.
Yep.
And I've been smelling so much Chablis that I'm like just like sniffing my own hand over here. And it really works.
Or a wet tea bag.
Right now.
Not that you carry one around in your hand.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, let me just grab it out of my pocket. It's quite peary.
Yeah, 2020, it's, I don't know, there's a, it's very whetstone. Pear. Yeah, green apple.
It's not my favourite. It's fantastic, but it's not my favourite.
I'm kind of with you. It's pristine.
Yeah.
And it's fine lined.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, because I will be honest with you, with my – I've had a lot of Chablis Grand Cru, but always as a judging thing, not as a drinking thing. is this supposed to be aged?
I mean, maybe it is.
For $230, how many hectares are there of this?
Do you know what I saw when I...
What?
Like a train track, two parallel lines beside each other going straight with nothing in the middle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I find it really linear. And the acid is really linear and nice and there's a great structure to it, but it's like it needs something in the mid palate to round it out.
Okay, so we're clearly missing something here because everyone's giving this like 95. I mean, it is superb wine.
Is it too cold? It could be too cold, Mick.
We didn't slow down about the other ones.
No, but maybe this wine like this
needs to be served a bit warmer.
I reckon a wine like this needs to be served. I actually am relatively confident that's what it is. So what I'm doing for everyone listening at home is wrapping my hands around the glass.
This is the thing. I don't know whether I'm – this is kind of why I wanted to do this blind. I don't know whether I'm driven by the price, but there is a level of precision in that wine. Bless you.
Thank you.
It's disease city here. There is a level of precision in that wine that you don't see in the others. But is that all there is?
Yes, yes. And I think that speaks to the shapes I'm seeing.
Yeah.
It's precise. It is straight. It's linear. It's perfect. But it needs to be rounded out. But I would put money on this. I've wrapped my hands around my glass. I'm warming it up. And I would put literally money that it's going to come to life once it warms up a bit.
Come on, baby, get the heat in there.
It's warmed up. I'm good.
Okay, going in?
Yeah, do it, Meg, seriously.
Okay.
Holy, it's completely different.
So this is why we have Chardonnay fridges at work.
Yeah, that's why you need a Chardonnay fridge.
Maybe we should sell Chardonnay fridges.
My brother, who likes wine but isn't like the biggest, you know, connoisseur or whatever, he just had Butterball the other day and called me to tell me that when it warmed down, like once it was warmer, it was completely different. He was like, is that a thing? I'm like, yeah, it's a thing. Temperature, Chardonnay, it makes all the world of difference.
The nose is dense and elegant. The nose, yeah. No one can really say a lot about it. It's quite interesting. I'm reading the reviews. It's like, yeah, we're giving it great reviews, but we're not actually saying why it's so great.
And this is why wine marketing is so important.
It's true.
We can't just hand that over to ChatGPT when needed.
Melwood.
ChatGPT, okay. How do I sell?
Here's a really good review.
Okay.
Edged by salt and wafting of white blossoms. This complex wine calibrates the richness. Oh, then it won't let me read anymore because I have to pay. Fuck off. Wine enthusiast. Excuse me. I think this is... We're clearly paying more because there's so little of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just all about vineyard. It is pretty bloody delicious.
It's pretty bloody delicious, but...
It's not your favourite.
Yeah, it's still not my favourite. But honestly, warming it up has changed a lot for me. Did it change a lot for you?
Yeah. It had an oily character that comes out, this sort of almond oiliness.
And where it was lacking on the mid palate for me, it's filled in.
You're getting a bit more texture, definitely. So take home message, your Grand Cru, don't chill it right down.
Yeah. Make sure it's, what, they say 13 degrees, don't they? For Chardonnay, that's where you want it to be. So, everyone, if you have a specific Chardonnay wine fridge at home.
That's got a real almond character now.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, see, it's like it's really changed it.
Like, and that's the thing with these higher level wines. They are your journey wines. This is going to taste so different. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And raw almond is a character for me from Cool Climate Chardonnay.
The raw almond, I totally agree with. And the finish it's transformed the finish. It honestly was cutting a little short before when it was really cold. True. But now.
No, it does look better.
It really, really carries.
Yum.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That was fun.
That was really fun. It's a good one.
I know that this isn't something that you're all going to be able to go out and do, but if you get a chance to get some mates together, because
that's a good idea.
It's even just getting the premier crews and having a look at them and comparing them, and seeing what Chardonnay, you know, in one of its most primal expressions, really, Chablis.
People have been asking us to do a tasting event. This is the kind of thing that we could do.
Oh, for sure.
Because this is the kind of thing that you need. The more people who can buy into it, the cheaper you get the tasting experience.
I mean, if you did, you know, divided that by 15 people.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, 13 because we're tasting.
Yeah, well.
But you divide that, it becomes affordable.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's that was, for me, that was eye-opening.
Yeah, that was awesome. Favourite?
Louis.
Yeah, I knew you'd say Louis.
But the Grand Cru, I think, is going to be the mind-blown wine over the next – we need to cut this in half.
Oh, my God, I forgot. I was going to bring my Decanter so that we could cut it in half so I could take home half.
Yay.
Decanter.
I'll find you a bottle.
It's never going to stop being funny.
So you can take excuse me. Sends me into apoplectic fits. I think that is something. But that said, do I want to think about Chablis that much?
There's a really interesting question. So, like, if you had, $230 to spend, would you spend it on a Burgundy Chardonnay?
Not Chablis, yeah. I'd be down at something that Nicolas Portel produced or something. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's delicious, but it's a lot of money. But if you're a Chablis, tragic.
Yeah, you'd be into it.
Mm. Oh, now it's got like an apricot kernel character.
Yeah,
that
so is now, like
the,
now, now
that
we're,
is like the Willy Wonka
it.
Wine. You know where they have the roast meat dinner thing, lolly bubble gum thing that they eat, and it she goes through the whole thing? That is a Willy Wonka wine.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
Well, no, I think we are starting to understand the Grand Cru, the $230 bottle, in its power of transformation. We'll have to leave it there for the week. This week, instead of a question, we are being left with some thoughts from Ralph about what he thinks is the best wine region.
I think Adelaide Hills is a really underrated wine tourism region. I'd say it's Australia's second best sparkling producer. Heaps of awesome tourism stuff to see. You can try some amazing cool climate. Syrah, Arndorf Hill has some amazing Austrian varieties. There's just so much to see and do.
I got to hand it to Ralph. If people go to South Australia for wine tourism, let's be honest, they go on a Brossa.
Yeah. And
perhaps Adelaide Hills is overlooked.
I just have to say, Adelaide is fantastic. Food is awesome. It's next level. I'm sorry, it shits all over Sydney because it's half the price.
Yeah.
And it's really innovative and diverse.
Yeah.
And fun. And you're not paying, you know, $45 for a bowl of noodles. And they are into their wine. Yes, Barossa and Barossa. Let's leave it there because I think Clare to a less extent and certainly Adelaide Hills. Yeah. Barossa is kind of overdone as a tourism region, worth visiting.
Oh, yeah.
But Clare and Adelaide Hills, McLaren Vale, Fleurieu Peninsula.
Kunawara.
There's so much to do. I love Adelaide, and it's such an easy city to walk around because it ain't no hills.
Yeah.
It's as flat as a tack, so you never get puffed out except walking up to the stairs for that K2W, you know, that King William, the very cool wine bar.
No way.
Oh, it's on the corner of King William. It's got like a secret elevator. You're obviously not cool enough.
Oh, my God, I'm clearly not cool enough. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ralph, for your message. We absolutely love hearing from you all, whether you have just something to say that you don't think we've covered well enough or whether you
we'll get there
have
eventually.
A question. We love hearing from you. Definitely message us, but also the voicemails, I think, just brings it to life a little bit. You can just do it on Instagram. Just click the little microphone and talk to us.
It saves Mel from having to speak constantly.
I'll make you love me.
I do love my boy.
Okay. All right. Have a lovely afternoon. Have a lovely afternoon. That was super weird. I don't know. Enjoy your next last one.
She's enjoying this, Chamberlain. I am. Drink well.